Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast. Today is, I don't know the date. I know it's the day before Thanksgiving, but I don't know the actual date.
24th is my sister's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Cheyenne. With your fine big yellow ass.
Happy birthday, Cheyenne.
It's so crazy that Shy is 36 and I have like started, I'm trying to get out of the habit of calling her my little sister because it doesn't feel right.
That never goes away.
But yeah, that never goes away. But I had homegirl in the club and on South Beach at 15. God bless.
Yeah, that shit don't go away. My mother was, you know, 78. Talk about my big sister. Right. My big sister Ruth. That's just what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It don't stop. It don't stop. She was here
this weekend. She was hanging out with a friend for her early birthday celebration. And she, on Sunday, made me go do some tourist shit. We went to the Edge, which is in Hudson Yards. It's like the view of the city from...
How was it?
It was kind of overcast. But it was... Interesting, you could tell how pretty it probably was on a clear day. But what was really interesting is that I think it's higher than the terrace of the Empire State Building, because when you're looking from there, the Empire State Building actually seems like it might be short.
Just below you?
Yeah. It's a few blocks away because, you know, this is a Hudson Yard. Mm-hmm. So you're on, what's that, like 10th Avenue, 9th Avenue?
Yeah, 10th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to get my sense of direction. What really kind of stuck out to me was that I don't recognize the skyline. Like half the skyline,
the New York skyline changed drastically.
I was like, which way are we facing? Because the Empire State Building is nowhere near the tallest building on the skyline anymore.
Yeah, they put on all these huge condo buildings all throughout the city, and it's changed the skyline drastically.
And we have there's a building that has a kind of slanted diamond-shaped top. And there's one in Atlanta and there's one in Charlotte. And I think there's also one in Dallas. I'm not saying it's the same building, but that has the same kind of top.
Same style. Mm-hmm.
Funny, because I'd seen somebody with a picture of New York in their background. And I was thinking, like, what city are they in? Now I'm realizing, no shit, they were home. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because I didn't recognize that building. So yeah. I haven't been up to any kind of, you know, lookout or observatory type level, and you know, you still see cranes and construction and all of that mm-hmm, stuff. I'm just like, wow, this is a completely different skyline than the skyline I know.
I read an article a few months ago, maybe a year ago, whatever, about a couple of those super tall condos, and they have a lot of issues. Number one, they're obviously super high, so they sway kind of to and fro because buildings have to be built like that. They can't be kind of stagnant, and there's like mad issues. I remember there was some building, like the elevator, they have mad issues with the elevator. And so like, if you're on like the 93rd floor.
You got to walk down them bitches?
You're just jammed up. Like you're not even doing that walk. You're just stuck. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're just big.
But he's really fucking fast.
Yeah, you go mad fast. There's issues with wiring. Because again, these buildings are so tall, like, you know, any little thing can throw them off. So like, it's not, yeah, the view and all that is crazy. I'm sure that the amenities and all of it. But like, but also it's like, yo, again, living on the 95th floor has issues that, again, right. Like if the elevator is something that goes out, I don't give a fuck if you got $25 million in the bank, you're jammed up. You're jammed up.
My mother once told me, never live above the third floor of a New York apartment building, and I ain't never lived above.
So you can get out.
Yeah, because elevators go out of service. Whatever happens, just don't make that shit happen. And I have never lived above the third floor of a New York apartment.
Your mom ain't wrong. Which is why so many of these, the tenement buildings in New York are like, they're only like 6-7 floors for that reason.
Right, for that exact reason, exactly.
Yeah, so if a fire or something, you ain't got to like, you know, it's easier to get out than, even especially if it's, you have to get out through a fire escape, getting off on a fire escape from 40 floors up is like, you know, hey, bro. You know,
so. Right.
Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's tomorrow. We always try to do a Thanksgiving show, Thanksgiving week. All of us are pretty hectic, but we're going to squeeze us in. Sean's going to try to pop in when he can. I actually saw Sean last night. They did a tribute for Chris Lighty at the pop-up Universal Hip Hop Museum
in the Bronx.
It was nice. It was Mona hosted, Busta came, Fat Joe was there, Sophia Chang, your Dress and Black Sheep, some other people. So it was nice to see a lot of people. And I got to see the, you know, it's the pop-up, but the museum, which is incredible. My man, Rocky Buchanan, I've known him for ages. He's in charge. He put the museum together, and they have so many amazing artifacts. They got like old mixtapes and obviously clothes and all these pictures and just, you know, records and, you know, their Bambaataz box and just, you know, just incredible stuff in there. Like, it was really like kind of blowing my mind to see some of the stuff they have. And of course, speak, they're building the actual museum, which is a huge building. It's going to be ready in, Rocky said, 2024. So it's in the process of being built now. So I just wanted to give that a shout out. And Sean was there, obviously, Ramona. He's going to try to pop in if he can today, but he's cooking and stuff. So we're just going to burn through some stuff real quick. Inka, you can start it up. Tell me about the hottie sauce.
So I've not really got to.
Jeff and me.
Always, carnivore's business.
I was just on Twitter telling somebody, they were talking about turkey. I was like, well, I suggest you fry a turkey to keep the juices in. Meanwhile, tomorrow will be bean sprouts and soy sauce, you know. But go ahead, tell us about the hottie sauce.
You need to up your chicken wing intake. You need like a chicken wing day every single month. I'm feeling like just one day a month.
One day a month, just eat some chicken, my nigga. Like,
I haven't had chicken in, I don't remember. It's been months. When did I become a vegan? Whenever that was, I just left my chicken. It's been months. I'd be looking at it too, like, damn, chicken right there. But I'm gonna keep it moving. So, but
hottie sauce, nothing groundbreaking, but it was good. A little sweet, a little spicy. It added a little something to the. I had it with like regular chicken. I didn't put it on like a sandwich.
Okay.
We just had regular chicken. But I mean, it was good. I would get it again.
Okay. They did a little something.
It's not, it didn't taste exactly like the sweet heat sauce, but it's in the same family.
So the sweet heat sauce you like better?
No, we like the Megan sauce better.
Okay, cool.
But if they don't have the Megan sauce, get the sweet heat and you'll be fine.
Get the sweet heat, okay, and you'll be all right. But the Megan sauce is that's the Dodge shit.
It's the same thing.
Do they got all her promo stuff up in the Popeyes or like pictures of her and all that up in there too or no?
Well, the Popeyes in my town is on post, so they suck. They don't really change out their window things and make it all sexy. It just says like U.S. Army, like...
Super basic.
I'm surprised we got the fucking sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
But we got it. It's cool.
Okay. want to mention a couple things. I'm late to the game, but I've finally started watching Southside on HBO Max. I'm in the season two. Like, I'm blasting
that show. That show is hilarious.
Like, it's so.
It's so wrong, but it's so right.
And if you've ever been to or spent any time with Chicago niggas, like, that is Chicago 1,000%. Like, that is Chicago niggas. How they dress, how they talk, how they act. This is so, obviously, it's based in Chicago, but it's just so Chicago. Like, it is so
You know? It's very much Seinfeld, like, as in this show is about absolutely nothing, but it is so funny. It's very black. It's probably the blackest thing I've ever seen on TV. But like, the cops in it are black. The like, everybody that works at this like Rent-A-Center kind of place is black.
RTO.
they just get into just shenanigans. Like, it's
shenanigans.
Like, but that, it's hilarious.
That and Curb Your Enthusiasm are the two shows that literally have make me laugh out loud. Like, I laugh out loud. I'm not just, like, chuckling. Like, I'm laughing at some of the shit they're doing the same. So, I know I'm late during the season two, but if you're not watching Southside, please watch it.
Southside was on, like, Comedy Central or something at first, and Trav put me on it, like, 2 years ago. Really? And I think HBO picked it up and gave it the second season, because I don't know that it was getting a second season on the original network. But, it's good. I'm glad they're getting some shine, because that shit is funny.
Hilarious. Nah, you need to watch it. It's hilarious. Like, it's seriously funny. Like, you'll laugh out loud. Like, especially because you've spent time in Chicago, so you know these niggas. Like, you laugh out loud. They go to Harold's. Like, they like Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Okay.
They get robbed and shit.
They get robbed. It's the Chicago full on. And then I also want to talk about King Richard. So, did y'all watch it? Have y'all watched it?
I haven't yet. I'm waiting for the holiday.
Okay. It's really good. It's really good. I think Will should at least get a Grammy nom for his role. He really.
Oscar, whatever.
Just because the Grammys just came out, that's why I'm thinking of that. But Oscar nom, he really nails Richard Williams. Like, his mannerisms, the way he speaks. Like, you kind of forget that it's Will after a while. Like, you're looking at Richard Williams, like that kind of weirdness that Richard has. Like, that just kind of I'm gonna say I met him. I don't even call it, I don't know if meeting him. Is the right term. Hey, Ivy. I don't know if meeting him is the right term, but years ago, here in the U.S., at the U.S. Open in New York, the day before the Open starts, it starts always on a Sunday. That Saturday before, they have, it's free to get in, and they have all the players practicing at all the different courts. And so you can just go in, just walk around. And when Venus and Serena hit, especially when Venus hit, I should say, because they didn't kind of hit at the same time. Venus hit first. When Venus hit the circuit, the pro circuit, like, my mom became like a huge tennis fan. Like, she started, she like subscribed to tennis magazines. Like, my mom's like, it was crazy. It was crazy. My mom's like, Venus playing so-and-so today. I'm like, how do you know this? Like, what the hell? Like, you know, so like, she really got into it. So, to surprise her, one year I took her, me and Julian took her out to the Open, and got to walk around. And so Serena was practicing, and Richard was kind of walking around the court while she was practicing. So it was just kind of like, "Hey, Mr. Williams, Richard." And he took a picture with him, and he kind of even said hi. So I didn't meet him, but even just in being around him for that nth of a second, that kind of quirky, you saw it. It's like that he's got this kind of. It's hard to describe. It's like a quirkish, just like almost like it's. And I hate to say it because it's not. But it's almost like he's kind of slow, but he's not. You know that kind of country thing, where like somebody is like slow, but then you start talking to him like this nigga's mad smart actually, but in his own weird way. That's how like Richard that went.
Old man kind of measured.
Yes. Tone. Yes. 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 Never too high. Never too low. But again, Will nails it. The girl who plays Venus, both girls, but the girl who plays Venus is awesome. My God, she's so
good.
You
can tell that even in the clips, like
what's her name? Angelou Ellis. She plays Orsine.
Angelou Ellis.
She plays Orsine. Phenomenal. It's a really good movie. It's a movie like you kind of watch on Thanksgiving with your family because there's no cursing and nothing. There's obviously no sexual things, but this is a really good movie. Because I think Will's gonna get an Oscar now because he nails it.
Listen, say what you want about annoying ass Will Smith, he can act.
Will can act.
You can't talk about his chops.
He did his thing.
I just want to say shout out to the chick from London, the white woman from London who thought she was gonna make.
Come on, checking Denzel. The one about the movie.
The one who thought she was going to make, some really witty feminist commentary about how a movie about Venus and Serena was really about a man, centered around a man, and got her ass ate the fuck up by Twitter.
She's still getting fried up on Twitter.
She done probably muted the thread because she won't delete tweets of so-called radical feminists. White feminists, not any of y'all listening to the show, but this is why. Don't fuck with y'all. Like, as soon as we start talking about intersectionality, that shit gets lost on. Yeah.
And Venus and Serena and their sister Aisha, I think her name is Aisha.
They're executive producers.
That's what I'm saying. They wanted the movie to be this way. They adore their father for all his flaws, which they do not hide. They do not hide his flaws in the movie. He's not some hero type. Like, they show he's on some fuck shit. Like, and they don't hide that. But for all his flaws, they love their father. They understand what he did to get them to this point, and wanted to make a movie honoring him. Like, they, you know, and that's what they did. And so it's crazy that that woman. It's like, do you not know the story? Like, this is the story.
No,
like,
no.
No, she doesn't know the story.
Not only does she not know the story, she doesn't understand what it means, right?
Exactly.
She could not comprehend how a woman had reached the peak of the athletic world, like in general, right? Like, they're not just some sort of regional good athletes, right? Like, they are the pinnacle of, you know, being an athlete. When they're talked about in total sum of athletics, not just women. And so she can't comprehend how they are not riding the horse of that, as I have done this all on my own. Right. Yeah. And I am the center of this
narrative. I did this. Nobody helped me. I had to, you know, and especially since we talk a lot about the misogyny and misogynoir that Venus and especially Serena face, you know, in their careers, I think her assumption was like that they would not want to highlight their father's role and they're coming up. But the thing is, like, the most basic origin story of Venus and Serena always starts with Richard. The Nike campaign started with Richard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the story. Richard is the Venus and Serena story.
Yeah,
and that's the part that really shocked me about it. Like, what is wrong with you, chick?
And the fact that it's called King Richard, right? Like, so we can just completely take the fact that the movie is actually named King Richard out of that equation.
Also upset about, because of course she's a Brit, so obviously that being about a black man was probably had be up her fucking bonnet as well.
But I was just gonna say that, like, they can't fathom that a black man could have had that kind of contribution to the greatest athletes in the world. And also, my child is snoring wildly, so
Okay. Let that baby rest.
Let that baby sleep.
Exactly.
But also, to that point, it isn't just about it being a black father, right? Like, it is about a particular black father, and I've talked about how consistently when you look at television and you see roles that are clearly a real person, right, and it is a person that is from the South, they speak with a very specific dialect, and it's like an erasure of that shit, right? Like, we don't really acknowledge the fact that he is not country club material. Okay,
that big old
country nigga was walking them girls through a country club circuit that was not okay with him. He did not fit into their, you know, this was not Bill Cosby, guys. This was not somebody who was polished. He was still rough around the edges. And you know what? He didn't give a fuck because he knew his
daughter. Not only was he not rough around the edges, but he was like, I don't give a fuck. This is who I am.
Somebody compared him to Earl. And I said, the difference is that Earl, while their stories are very similar in how they... And how they had that laser focus for their children. The difference is that Earl is far more polished. Earl is a military man. Earl can move in circles that were far more gentle to him than Richard. You know, Mr. Richard. Let me put a handle on
Richard.
That.
And
for clarity, you know, he's an 80-year-old man. I think that they. You know, he's had some strokes. He had some significant health issues.
And I
think that they're ultimately saying, like, hey, man, you know, we want to pay tribute to our dad while he can see him.
Exactly. Yeah. Was another thing about the movie that I move on with you, but make sure that to specify is that how much Orsine, it was a partnership. Orsine was there too. She was on the courts with them too. And the sisters were there too. Like the sisters were picking up the balls and like, so it was really a family thing.
The Williams family has a gang of siblings.
Yeah.
We just focus on Venus and Serena.
But they're in the, you know, the five, because when he married Orsine, she had three girls. And then they had Venus and Serena.
He has
a bunch of kids. There's a mention of that too, but the other kids that he left and all. But so she had three, and then they had Venus and Serena, so made a total of five of them with them. But like all of them were very involved. It wasn't like, you know, Venus and Serena's over here, and the only one that wasn't quite as involved is her name is Tundi, the one who was tragically murdered. A few years ago, but she wasn't about this because she was so much older. So she was like going on to college. She was just older, but you know, they were very tight. It's a very, very good movie. I don't want to like give away too much, but it's a very good movie. I highly suggest people. It'll be a great movie to watch this weekend with your family if y'all just chilling out on the day hanging out. I wanted to mention, I know Nye gonna love this one. And bruh, gotta mention Versus. So damn. We have Versus. About a week.
Yeah, before we even get into it, Sean, you have my condolences.
Hey man, that was a rough road. I hadn't got that many texts since the Saints lost in the playoffs. The niggas just randomly hitting me like, hey, man, you all right, man?
You good? You good?
Hold your head, nigga.
I'm saying a prayer for you, bro. So we had Versus with Chaka Khan and Stephanie Mills. I guess it was about a week ago, whatever, a few days ago.
I think it was last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Yeah, so almost a week ago.
First of all, I don't know why they did the old people night on a Thursday. Like that needed to be a Sunday, like the Isleys and EWF and like Patty and it needed to be a Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it on Thursday either, but they did it. It was so in Los Angeles, I don't know what theater. And it started about 1 hour and 5, 1 hour and 10 late.
I think longer than that because first was the time back. It was supposed to start at 8. And then
started at 8 initially. Oh, I didn't know that.
Initially, they promoted it as starting at 8, and then they changed it to promoting it
to 9.
Then it was disjointed, because mind you, by the way, shout out to Fat Joe, who I saw on Saturday, and I had to ask him if he was wearing Hermes. But mind you, this was a ticketed event. So people paid tickets to go see Stephanie and Shaka, right? But it started with DJ Scratch hosting some random-ass DJ battle. Now, if I had paid my money to go and see Shaka and Stephanie motherfucking Mills, and I'm watching, no shots to Scratch, because I fuck with Scratch, but, like, I'm watching a DJ battle, not even with, like, old school, just, like, a DJ battle, as I'm waiting for Stephanie and Shaka, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on here? Then
I didn't think the DJ battle was real. I thought it was hyperbole because I didn't log in until after 9.
No, there was
like, the DJs are just going back and forth. But it was an actual battle.
Actual DJ battle with Scratch. I think they were supposed to vote online. I think it was voted online or some shit.
Yeah, right? You vote online and the announcement comes this week or whatever.
I didn't even know that. I thought they were just trying to kill time.
No, there's cash prize, vote online. I mean, I do think
I didn't know any of that.
My thing is, like, it didn't fit the bill, right? Like, it didn't fit the whole situation. So, and then this Versus was sponsored in part by Hallmark Mahogany, which was dead on. But then apparently there had been some kind of card poetry contest or something. So then,
I missed all that.
My eyes are gleaming.
But they didn't do it.
Bruh, I logged in and saw a poem and right the fuck back.
Executives came out and was announcing the winners. And I tweeted at that point, I was like, what in the church program? Because that's what it felt like, right? It felt and now we're going to have remarks.
It felt like when the sister church come.
Yeah.
Nobody really kind of knows what's happening. And then, like, the person who's leading the choir from the sister church get up there And kind of start having a little testimony.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, because one of the executives from Hallmark was on stage, and I was like, "Who the fuck is this?"
That's what I said. I was like, "What in the church program?" Because that's exactly what I felt. Like. She was like, "We are so honored to be here and the sponsor this tonight."
You know, I know it's crazy though. I'm not actually mad at that sponsorship because those cards are good. Like people,
it's a phenomenal. It's probably perfect. The most spot on demo you could have asked.
Exactly. They just didn't do it right. They just didn't do it right.
I didn't know nothing about no contest. So for them to come out and announce winners, I was like, the fuck are y'all even talking about? Like, it just felt very disjointed, right?
What was disjointed?
And then even with the DJs, well, not really so much. Like, they got women to spin for the two ladies, which makes sense. Although, I think Derek's on tour. Derek was in Brooklyn with Mary that night.
Yeah, so one of the women, I'm blanking on it. It's Talib's Twali's ex-wife. And the other woman, Beverly Bond. I thought it was old girl that used to spin for Prince.
No, it was Beverly Bond.
Oh, that was Beverly? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It was Beverly and it was EQ.
EQ, that's amazing.
For those who don't know, is the founder of Black Girls Rock. But before that, she was mostly known as being one of the black women DJs who's out there getting them big corporate checks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that because you don't actually see Beverly spin a lot anymore.
Pretty much never.
She barely spins anymore. I saw her a couple times during quarantine, but not for real. So it was Beverly spinning for Shaka and EQ spinning for Stephanie.
For Stephanie, yeah.
Yeah, and my guess was probably they had Beverly spinning for Shaka because you could tell that Shaka had not been to nobody's sound check because she did not know her set list.
She didn't know nothing. She was like, what you about to play?
She's like,
are you playing that one?
Stephanie
knew all Shaka songs. Stephanie knew all.
In fairness, Shaka might have been at soundcheck and still was drawing a blank.
Yeah.
So
Shaka, they came on about 10-ish, 10-ish, I'm the ish.
Which is very late.
Big ish. And Shaka was visibly off kilter, I'll say. She's visibly off kilter. I don't know, what it was. It was a combination of things, but she was visibly off kilter. Stephanie, being an A-list professional and a really good friend, immediately stepped in and realized she was going to have to pretty much carry the show.
Stephanie knew she was going to have to do that from the jump because you're not going to tell
her. But she probably saw her backstage and so she was off.
I think she knew it from the time they booked the show because it's Shaka. That's the thing I wanted to say. Like, here's the thing about Shaka Khan. You could tell who's seen Shaka live in like the last decade and who hasn't. Because think about it. You don't see Shaka do a lot of TV performances. And if she is, she's got like one bar with five other people. With the exception of Aretha's funeral when she was reading the lyrics off the back of her fan. You don't see Shaka do a lot of live camera stuff, right? If you've seen Shaka live in concert, you know that it's hit or miss what kind of Shaka you're going to get. But even Shaka at her best is A, going to be late, B, does not sing all her lyrics. And I think some people don't realize it because her background vocals do most of the heavy lifting and there's one person who always sings Shaka's part. So you don't always realize that Shaka's not singing the line that you think, the Shaka line, because the person has her tone and timbre. But unless you hear Shaka mostly just get up there and be ad-libbing and scatting and shit. And like, I haven't heard Shaka actually deliver the whole make a wish upon a star and hope this night will last forever line in 20 years. Like, I have. Yeah. Like, this was supposed
Which was bothersome to me because, I'm not based on Shaka, but it's bothersome to me because, you know, when you get a audience of this size, right, and you get people, some people I'm sure have not, because they haven't seen Shaka live and maybe don't know quite as much about Shaka's history, you know? And so when you see this, it's bothersome to me because, you know, the joke started. And look, we're going to let these jokes fly, right? But.
The jokes fly when Delta don't.
The jokes are going to fly regardless. But what I'm saying is,
sorry, that's it, it, it like, me out.
No, okay. But it's a trip because, you know, Chaka is like a top 10 gifted vocalist. Like, she's amazing, but you're not getting to see this, and she just becomes like Auntie Chaka, who'd be kind of drunk. And it's like, yes, that is who she is, but like, I wish y'all would understand why she is still revered, even with all the antics, because Chaka, especially in her prime, Chaka was blasting people off the stage with her looks, with her vocals, with her everything. You know, she with her musicianship. She plays drums she's incredible. Obviously, she's in a place now where she doesn't do that stuff anymore. But I just wish people got to see like who she really is. You know,
there are some clips out there, but I think even it's notable to say even now, Chaka had lost her voice. Even now, when she was feeling a little off kilter and where she might have started like a half step down or like a half key off, Chaka ain't lost her voice. She just don't, you could just tell she just don't feel like making the effort. You know what I'm saying?
She's going through the motions, really.
That's
what it is, because when she wanted to hit a note, she hit the note.
Oh yeah. But later on in the verses, as whatever was happening with her, I felt like it kind of wore off a little bit, and she came a little bit more cognizant of what's going on.
When she got them shoes changed, I feel like that helped her vocal cords a bit.
I also think Chaka didn't want to be there. I think that this is a hard sell for Chaka, because Stephanie had been wanting to do this versus, apparently. And I think, because Chaka even said at one point, like, she didn't know she was going to have that much fun. And also, Chaka was ready to go by the end. Chaka was trying to end the verses for three songs.
Well, she walked out when they played Ain't Nobody. She, like, walked off the stage like, yo, it's one of your biggest records.
Three times. She was saying goodnight while she did a bow while Stephanie was setting up home. Like, she did a whole bow and said goodnight.
And her daughter was already singing the song. She was
the
like,
daughter. Oh, I did not need to see the daughter.
Chaka don't do... That versus was an hour and some change. Chaka don't be on stage that long. Chaka don't give you guys a good 30 minutes. Like, for real.
I didn't need to see the daughter. I was not... that was like, daughter. Get this girl off the stage. We didn't pay to see you.
No. So let bro have his moment. There's a point where, so Versus actually on IG was super shitty that night. I'm not sure what their back end issues were. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. And actually, so I had, because I follow Chaka, I had gone to the Chaka Live. It was a much crisper sound, much crisper picture.
Okay.
And when the daughter came out, I heard a nigga in the crowd say, "Who the fuck is that?" and that was not, fam, that was not him saying that to the person next to him. That was drunk dude. Like, I didn't pay for this. Who the fuck is singing right now?
Oh, he was fed up by the end.
He was hot. But I mean, look. It was like Nas said, to Nas' point, anybody that has seen Chaka and kind of knows, you know this is an absolute roll of the dice, and you probably got a 70% chance of getting what you got last night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that particular night. And I mean, that's a part of it. And even with all of those flaws of that night, she still can sing. Like, she's still incredible. Like, that's the part that it's like, dude, like, this is her breezing through something. She's not focused. She wants to go home. She's fucking around right now, right? And, you know, Stephanie is, one, she's, like, definitely a friend and all of those things. But I think that she also, I don't think she would have let anyone, Black, particularly a Black woman, if she could help, if that was Jasmine Sullivan and she knew the song and Jasmine was having a rough, she'd jump right in, right? Yeah. Just because that's just the kind of pro that she is. And this is what I was saying to you, Jeff. This is why I felt like a band would have played better for them, because there were songs that Chaka was into that the DJ cut. But that's with a band has a feel. They kind of get a rhythm and they kind of, and you really could have shared a band because probably, I mean, is it really that hard to find six niggas in LA that know all them songs? I don't really think No, really could have called. You could have probably called Warren and Teddy and them, and they probably would have had some dudes down there in no time.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
In the first bit, the first half of it, because they also didn't take an intermission, because Shaka probably would have never come back.
And they were late.
And they were late. But I think also they were trying to make up for time at one point. And what was interesting to me is that I felt like Stephanie's songs were getting cut more than Shaka's songs. And I was like, okay, that's I need Stephanie to rock. Because Stephanie does this all day, every day, twice on Tuesdays.
As you can see, she's in great shape. Physically, she's dancing, she's moving, she sounds amazing. Stephanie's awesome.
But Stephanie, what I love is that from the door, it was very like when your homegirl is drunk in the club and you just put her together.
Keeping an eye on her.
Yeah, exactly. Like Stephanie would get up out her seat and go. This is what's interesting. Stephanie would get up out her seat and go meet Shaka eye to sing the lyrics for her. Stephanie wouldn't perform the lyrics to the crowd. She would perform.
You're looking at Shaka.
Keeping her focused.
Like, come on, let's do this together, boo.
And we also have to remember that Stephanie Mills has been performing professionally since she's probably about 15 when she did the Wiz back, and this back in the 70s. The mid-70s, like 75 or something when she did the Wiz. So she is a pro's pro.
A certain camaraderie between all of those singers that kind of came up during that age. Touring and doing all of that, that shit was way harder than it is now. And you had to know your people.
And God bless Stephanie, with no backing tracks.
And God bless Stephanie, but Black Radio is not coming back as you knew it. I don't really know what to tell you about that. But if you think that there's going to be some adult contemporary Quiet Storm classic radio station, I don't know what to tell you.
God bless them both. Love them both. You know, Shaka's had better nights, but
last thing I want to say, this would have been a perfect versus to have a young up and coming R&B singer come and do the opening versus that DJ battle. That would have been to me far more perfect setup. And I mean, listen, I'm not saying anybody experienced. They would have to go through the ringer to make sure that they can go. Right. But that would have been a perfect little segue. Imagine somebody getting that 15 minutes to get up there and really kind of, you know, do some things, you know, instead of the DJs who actually played the records of the people who were coming on stage, which was
mind blowing
to me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I met Shaka once 100,000 years ago. It doesn't count. But I want to meet her because there's some things that she does on some of these records. I need to ask her about, like, how did you do that? Like, how did you, like, on I'm Every Woman at the end when they keep going, like, it keeps, you know, she's not saying it the same way each time. The run is different at the end, but it sounds like the vocals are doubled. But I'm like, how is it doubled if you're doing it differently? I need to ask her technical shit because she's a genius. Anyway. One other thing I want to watch is Jagged.
You don't be like, nigga, I don't remember none of that shit. That's what.
Yeah, I know. But if she says that, that's fine. But I just want to ask you anyway, because the guy who produced it is Arif Martin. He's passed away. So, Shaka, like, if you don't know, then the secret is gone. But I watch this documentary called Jagged, which is pretty interesting. And it's about Alanis Morissette and her rise to fame. Very interesting, obviously, you know, very different, but the same kind of story that a lot of women have. She started off in Canada. She became like a pop star up there, almost on like a Debbie Gibson-ish type of energy. Then, you know, she left that and, you know, decided to do her own thing. And she's writing these songs. She ends up hooking up with this guy, Glenn Ballard, in LA. And they write these songs, the songs that are on the album. And as usual, every label passed. Like, every label was like, oh, she's too angry. Or like, what is this? We don't like this, how this sounds. And like, everybody passes. So they finally had this one meeting with Madonna's label. This guy named Guy Siri, and he's like 18 and 19 at the time. And he gets it and he signs her to this little deal. And obviously we know what happens next, but it's also about, like, you know, stuff she went through in industry, like, you know, grown men trying to, you know, fuck her. She was like 18 and 19 years old, like, and all that stuff, and how people weren't really giving her credit for writing these records. It was like, oh, it must be the producer. It ain't really her. It's like, nah, she... So this is very interesting, you know, and just a reflection of that time in music, you know, that kind of Lilith Fair, Lollapalooza, that energy that was popping back then. And
very Lilith. You know, that was very, like...
She was like... she was the queen. Queen of Lilith Fair. You know, she's playing shows to like 100,000 people. It's just very... in her arc, like, and how, you know, just very interesting documentary. I mean, if you're into music, and I like Alanis, I like that album a lot. So if you're into the Jagged,
it's interesting to me to hear later on, like, just how many people passed on something that I consider to be like life changing music. Mm-hmm. Because when that hit, I think I was in high school. Yeah, but it was like every single girl, like, changed a little bit. Like, hair got longer, got a little more grunge. Like, it just.
Got a little more emo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just fit. Everybody that listened to it was into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Black, white, it didn't matter. But it's with the music business, look, in real life, the music business, I'm talking about the people inside the buildings, the A&R people and such. Most of them are still followers. They're like, whatever's hot now is what they want to do. That's whatever's on trend now is what they want to do. So when you bring something that's not on trend, that's different, people run from it. More times than not, people run from it. Hence the stories you always hear Inga about. How do people pass on Drake? How do people pass on Last Marcia? How did Alicia Keys get dropped? And on and on and on. There's 100 of these. But it's because if you're ahead of the curve in some kind of way, it takes a special person. Nirvana, like, they was out in Seattle just doing their thing. Like, but again, it takes a special person who's going to put their balls on the table and say, nah. Even when we talked about the Tina Turner doc, when they were like, we're going to give you $15, you make the album, and if not, we're going to drop her. It's like, and obviously we know what happened. So, you know, it's not surprising, but it happens a lot more than you think. And for every Alanis or Drake or whatever it is, you know, a lot more that were just as good that got dropped and just never got another shot.
Because the industry is risk averse. That's the thing. As much as industry executives and Giles Seria among them, the name of his label is literally Maverick, try to credit themselves with being visionary and creative work and trying to, you know, change the culture, and it's a bottom line. It's a bottom line business, yeah. Industry is risk averse, because I think what people don't realize is that honestly the music industry loses money on the majority of the projects, the acts that they sign, right? It's the few that break through, they keep the lights on. So, you know, because you got advances that artists keep regardless of what happens, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it is a risk averse business more so than I think people really understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just play it safe, because it you know what, to the labels side, it costs a lot of money to break an artist.
It costs a lot of money to break a woman.
Oh, extra, you know. So
to break a woman, yeah.
So there is a reason, I guess, for lack of a better term, why people are definitely, like you said, risk averse, because it's millions and millions of dollars they're putting out there. You know, you don't know you're gonna get it back. So, but anyway, let's move on. That's what I wanted to mention the other thing too. I want to go to a little bit of the heavier shit now. I want to mention Young Dolph, who was tragically murdered in his hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, last week. They seem to be getting close to catching the suspects in this case. They found the car that they were in, and, you know, which tells me they're gonna, you know, they're pinning people. They'll catch them. But so, you know, 36 years old, he did a lot for his community out of Memphis. You know, he wouldn't leave the city, even though it was very dangerous for him. I mean, the Memphis rappers, I think almost more than any other city, they have so much beef with each other. Like, it's like Dolph against young black youngster, black youngster against Yo Gotti, Yo Gotti against Moneybagg Yo. I don't know what it's about. You know, I know Juicy, even 3-6 and them had issues when they were younger. I don't know what it's about, but it's a lot of this inner turmoil in Memphis when it comes to the rap game. And, you know, them boys play for keeps out there. Like, if they on you, might not end up nice, you know, as we see. So I just wanted to say that, the rest in peace of Young Dolph. I liked what he was doing. I just liked his movement. You know, he seemed to kind of figure out the business side of things. So it's tough. It's hard. He leaves behind a beautiful girl and two beautiful kids and a host of family members that are, you know, got to bury their family member Thanksgiving week. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Also wanted to mention punk-ass Kyle Rittenhouse getting off. Well, I mean, we kind of knew that was coming, but still, it still stings.
Yeah, from the second that trial started, I've made a conscious decision to just not watch any of it because I knew what was going to happen. And
the judge, like, he was so openly biased. It was un-fucking believable. It was like, dude, like, he's.
The judge wasn't recused and didn't recuse himself, wasn't made to recuse himself, baffles me. It baffles me.
It was very interesting to me, and I kind of checked out completely. I was trying to follow, but I checked out completely when he threw out the gun charge based on the length of the barrel.
Yeah,
because that was so. There's a lot of murkiness in what constitutes self-defense in the positions that in everything that took place, but. That was very, there was no cloud about that. Like, it was very clear. And so when the judge threw that out and how he threw that out made me realize that, one, they knew that they had the jury at that point because this was after Kyle had gotten on the stand and cried. And so that's when they threw that out. And we knew that that was going to happen. I mean, he had support. He had people that were paying for top-notch defense. I think the prosecution didn't do a great job as well.
But their hands were also extremely tied.
Yeah, I'm saying they had a very thin margin for error, right? Like, I'm not discounting that they were fighting an uphill battle. And what it really registers and what it should register is that, listen, man, states' laws are different. That shit that flies in New York City or in Baltimore, Maryland is not going to be the same shit that flies in the middle of a Rust Belt, you know, city.
Yeah. Where they hunt for sport in a state like that.
And apparently, and I don't, again, I don't know how valid this is. Cause again, I hadn't really dug into it, but apparently we had all assumed that he had traveled with that weapon, and that was also a part of the charge. And then we find out that he did not actually travel with that weapon, that weapon had been there and he had gotten it from the older cousin or whomever he was with that were deputized, I'm using air quotes, to basically watch this property. And so, I mean, listen, no one was surprised. I saw people getting up in arms and talking about black people need day off. And like, bro, we've seen this a mile away. This is not a surprise for anybody who did not find out they were black 2 years ago.
Exactly. To the other side, Ahmaud Arbery's sentencing came, well, not Ahmaud Arbery's, the people who killed Ahmaud Arbery's sentencing came down today. And all three of them were
convicted. The verdict came.
You're right. The verdict came down today, and all three of them were guilty. One person had 7 guilty counts. The other two had 9. So all three of them are definitely going to do some heavy jail time.
We hope.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you never know.
We don't know. But in this case, this district attorney and this set of judges presiding over it were not fucking around with the original district attorney and prosecutors. Because remember, they charged her.
Yeah, they charged her. Yeah, if it's recovering evidence stuff.
which is crazy.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
That's a nice surprise after what we just witnessed with the previous trial,
especially in rural Georgia. Very nice surprise. Happy Thanksgiving.
And I do have to say that the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, I believe, is there are more judges like that. I think he's more the norm than some other completely impartial judge. It's just that trials like this get media coverage, and we were able to see somebody who's completely untethered go unchecked and not have to recuse himself. And maybe it was eye-opening for some people, but these are the judges that I have ever seen. Yeah. And like cool judges are very few and far between.
And I also think the Rittenhouse judge thought this was going to be a star turn for him. He was like, oh, I'm going to be on TV, blah, blah, blah. And so he was almost like playing up shit. Like,
he was
talking about his phone. And I was raised my text messages. It's like, nigga, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It would not shock me in the least if he has signed a deal or is in negotiations with signing a deal with Fox for some sort of syndicated show.
Absolutely.
Fox had been following Kyle Rittenhouse around during this entire trial.
Making a documentary.
None of that would surprise me. They have a market for it. They have the platforms for it to put the content out. And yes, that's what they're gonna do. And so
real quick, I don't think any of y'all watched the show, but I watched the AMAs Sunday night.
I
was expecting y'all to watch it. Well, I actually enjoyed it.
I'm watching now because it was Jesse Collins' first year. Numbers were up. I think 20%.
Stephen Hill and Connie Orlando executive produced. Daytwan Thomas was one of the head writers of the show. So it was basically the
executive produced.
So did Stephen and Connie.
Okay.
Yeah, so they basically took the BET crew
and
put it onto the AMAs. It was a bunch of people from the BET Awards when they were at their peak. And Daytwan obviously is a big time writer.
Soul Train, so that's interesting. Okay, she was busy because Soul Train taped the day before the AMAs, and one was in New York, one was in LA. But the numbers were up. You know, the team shook up the format a little bit. I still need to watch the new edition in NKOTB clip. That's the only thing I'm really interested in because the AMAs is fan voted awards, so they're silly. They never make sense for me.
Yeah, but I don't watch it for the awards per se. I just watch it to kind of see. It lets me know what the pop kids are really into.
Billboard is that because I guess also maybe because when it was Dick Clark Productions, it was kind of like whatever.
Yeah, no, but this is BTS was there and there was an Italian rock group. They were fucking dope, man. They murdered it. I'm blanking on their name. They killed it. They were like a mixture. They were kind of like the Strokes. But it was a little more poppy than that. Like they had like suits and shit. There was like two girls playing. They murked it. Cardi B was an excellent host because you know she's funny. She's very charismatic, and she's like a pop kid. She's very into this, so she's excited to see BTS, and she's excited to see Olivia Rodrigo. Like she's giddy. Like oh my god, she's not just playing for the camera. Like you can tell she really is into it. Olivia Rodrigo, she bodied it. Like
I like her a lot.
She's wild talented. She's
hell of a songwriter.
Hell of a songwriter. So I enjoyed the show. Again, with Steven and Jesse and everybody at the helm, it moved quickly. You know, it wasn't a lot of like long drawn out shit. It was a pop, 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 pop. Very colorful, great production. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show.
I still haven't forgiven them for giving Artist of the Millennium, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Artist of the Decade to Taylor Swift over Michael Jackson.
I can't go back. That was a big misstep. That was a huge misstep. But
there has to be a failsafe for when the fans get it wrong.
Yeah, when the
fans. And that shit was wrong.
Dead wrong. Dead the fuck wrong. AMAs are pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
We ain't got to talk about Insecure.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I was just going to say, have you guys watched Mayor of Kingstown?
Not yet. What channel is that on?
It's on Paramount Plus. I suggest you watch it.
is dope. Well, Jeremy Renner is dope.
I suggest you watch it. You will not. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna dig into Hawkeye tonight too. That came on Disney Plus today. I think
it came out today.
Okay.
No, I'm waiting for Trav. But okay. I have never heard anyone say the sentence "Jeremy Renner is dope." And
Jeremy Renner in the town. Jeremy Renner was dope.
So I was gonna say. So think
Shut
of
up,
his
Inca.
Character.
Shut up, Inca.
it's kind of like that. Like it's a very dark. So think like I hate to use The Wire because we use it so much, but think the sort of storytelling of The Wire and this sort of backdoor, sort of underhanded relationship of, you know, towns and prisons and street culture and you know,
it's really good. I'm gonna watch it. I don't know.
And no one's ever said maybe.
Maybe I've been watching too much Desus and Mero because I just like let them all play while I was doing other shit the other day, and they make fun of him. If not every episode, every other episode, because he had a very brief rap career.
And did he?
There's a snippet of him recording something that is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. So, if you ever watch Desus and Mero, I'll send you that one of the episodes where they use the clip. It's too funny for words.
Send me the link to that.
You gotta check it out.
All right. So, we always talk about Thanksgiving. You know, we're all gonna be doing something tomorrow. Inca pulled out some pies earlier, showed us some nigga pies.
That look these white only pies.
How much turn them white only pies into nigga pies? But I'm going out to Penny's tomorrow. I'm pressing to eat dinner at a decent hour.
What you gonna eat at Aunt Penny's house?
I went over to there's a place in Harlem called Jacob, which is a kind of it is a buffet kind of soul food restaurant. So I bought some pan of vegetable fried rice. I bought some fried whiting too for them. And I'm just going to probably eat some bullshit, man. Some rice, some greens, and some yams. And I'm going to be...
You know them greens going to have a little turkey or something.
Yeah, you're right. I probably can't eat them. Maybe some string beans or something. And
you
some
think
yams.
She making those without butter? I'm just concerned for you.
Yeah. My options is limited. And I got to sit there and watch everybody. My cousin always fries the turkey. And I got to watch the mac and cheese with the cheese stretching out. And I just got to sit there and, like, you know.
Give you a nice glass of ice.
Like a little piece of skin. You can't even, like, a little piece of skin off the turkey back. Yeah. Just take a little piece or put it in the bread real quick. And put a little
dash of bread.
I can't eat bread.
Oh my god, nigga, what are you doing? Oh my god, nigga, you are in the... I can't eat no biscuit.
Just body was so protein deficient. That's why the Roman got you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, right. I probably do need to eat a piece of fish or something tomorrow. Pass out. No wonder I'm so damn tired all the time. I ain't got no goddamn protein in my body. Shit. Thanksgiving is actually, I think I've said this on the show before, Thanksgiving is actually probably my favorite holiday because it's just about getting together with the family. It's not about buying gifts. It's just about everybody getting together, having good food, you know, talking shit, playing cards, you know, watching games, whatever your family does. But it's just about the family getting together. Easter's kind of like, but Easter's still about church, you know. But Thanksgiving is just the family getting together in whatever form your family is, and friends, and just having a nice day together. It's always been my favorite holiday. I really don't like Christmas because I hate that pressure of like, what are you gonna buy? Come on, bro. I just want to get together with the family. It doesn't really matter. I don't even remember. You don't remember half the shit you got for Christmas anyway. It doesn't fucking matter. It's about
it's about the family, but it's just about the food.
The food, man.
And the food. That's what I'm saying. That's what it's all about. The family and the food. Like
that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. You know.
Eating while TV.
Even though for me it's just about the family now, because the food for me part is dead.
You gotta stop. There's no vegan restaurants you could get like a plate from today or something. You could warm it up tomorrow.
No. I'm a.
I mean, yeah, at a cookout, at least you get like a fruit salad. There's like
The cookout, like I told you, when I went to Kentucky, I bought the vegan beef and they cooked it for me on the grill. So I can get around it in the summer.
They cooked that shit after everything was done, nigga. They did not interrupt the real barbecue to put that shit on.
I had a little sliver of the grill off to the right side and put my shit over there.
Hey, that boy,
that's our New York cousin.
We only put turkey right here, so we can put it
right
here too.
Grass burgers.
Exactly. So we saw Incas nigga pies. But what else are y'all cooking for tomorrow? Because I live through y'all now.
Ham. Here's the thing. Ham.
See, Nye will buy a whole goddamn ham for herself.
Yes.
In the house. And
I'm not going, a real nigga. Like,
I'm not going to nobody's house for Thanksgiving tomorrow because we have people coming in on Saturday, but I am cooking a ham.
Okay.
That's very real.
Now do you decorate? Do you put the pineapples on it?
No, but I do a pineapple juice, honey, I pack brown sugar and do a pineapple juice, orange juice, honey, and ginger ale glaze.
Oh, you got one of them Big Mama Your Arm hams. Okay?
Yes. I put the brown sugar.
Roast the honey baked ham as possible. Like, for real. Like, I want the brown sugar. I want you to crystallize.
Nice.
What you cooking?
And I'm mad. I'm making dressing for myself, a whole pan of dressing.
I love it.
Amen.
Listen, my ham glaze is the brown sugar, yellow mustard, a little bit of the pineapple juice, and some ground cloves. And then you get that down in the fire. It's unbelievable.
Nice.
So anyway, I'm cooking a wild amount of food because I keep, like an idiot, inviting people as I see them. So, like, my pastor is coming.
Come on by. We got a plate for you.
My neighbors are coming. Like, it's a little out of hand. And my in-laws are here, all of them. So,
it's gonna be a good time.
I'm excited. But we got the Popeyes turkey because...
We've done that before.
No, I do it when I used to do it every year.
It's so much work. Cooking a turkey is too much work.
I do the Popeyes turkey every year. The Popeyes turkey is good. Shit.
Yeah.
It's really good. But it's really good.
I also did like a buttermilk brined turkey breast that I spatchcocked. We got a ham, fried whiting, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, seasoned rice, turkey gravy, greens, green beans, cornbread dressing, cranberry sauce.
Okay.
Went with the Hawaiian rolls, apple pie, pound cake.
As you should.
Chef's kiss. And then sweet potato pies, of course, and cookies for the kids.
All right, shit. Give me some pictures because I can't eat nothing. I can't even eat that dressing. I can't even eat that gravy.
You can't eat nothing that I prepared.
My rice would be dry as cotton.
There's butter in the rice, so
I can't eat that.
Yeah, I also got to make some gravy just to have gravy for my dressing.
Okay, bro, what y'all burning tomorrow?
Well, we got she in there right now. We got about 6 pans of mac and cheese going.
Mac and cheese and crab cakes and
potato salad. I cooked the greens. I cooked my greens already. I think my sister-in-law probably brings some rice or something like that. But Mona usually makes like a yellow seasoned rice. We do a traditional turkey. I'm a traditional turkey person.
You don't like a fried turkey?
I know that that's not in vogue now. And it's frowned upon.
You new niggas.
But I grew up with a baked turkey, and I like a traditional baked turkey. Now, I got a fried turkey, which I normally fry. I start that morning or whatever, because it really doesn't take long. We do a smaller, we do like a 22 to 24 pound for the oven, and then like maybe like a 16-pounder for me to fry.
Okay. Do you inject it and like put a bunch of
It brines. It brines in the same way that we're doing it. So it'll be, you know, it's brining now. It's been brining for hours. And then we do a pot roast. I've always been a pot roast guy. So
you're a pot roast nigga.
Yeah, we do that. You never heard my story about my cousin.
I remember he ate the pot. He took
he ate home. The last of my pot roast. That nigga lucky his mama's a saint. Boy, I'd have been on his ass. but yeah, we got everything. You know, my sister-in-law is a very good cook.
Okay.
So she always brings, she'll probably do like green beans and carrots and stuff like that, like different, you know, bless her heart. She brings a salad. It don't really get no play with me, but you know, some people enjoy that.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mama's red velvet. Mona makes my mama red velvet.
Okay.
Cake. She'll probably make a big sheet cake.
Nice. Nice.
Love that.
Nice. Yeah. It's just, you know, again, Thanksgiving is a good time, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good time. I just want to eat at a decent hour, man. That's all I'm praying for. You know,
I just want to stop. I as much as I love my family and enjoy my family, this isn't my favorite holiday.
What's your favorite?
My favorite holiday is Christmas, and I'll explain. Okay. Because we actually don't really we're not like super heavy on the gifts, and we'll celebrate like Christmas Eve. So the family comes over and we do like, you know, because, you know, you normally get a free turkey, right? So there's like another turkey or some shit in the fridge. And we'll just like fry that up or, you know, cook that. And, you know, it'll be it's almost like a pared down Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But we have like a Christmas dinner, but on Christmas Eve.
Thanksgiving is so big. Thanksgiving is work in your house.
It is work, my nigga. Like, it is like right now, like I'm going to get off here.
And
I'm
go to work.
Taking a lunch break, and then I'm be back to work.
Shout out to my best friend who actually drove up here. She just left, so I could just get some shit done without Ivy all over the place. So she's trying to help the kid.
That's a real friend, yeah.
While I cook, so
dinner. You sent her back with a plate or something?
I gave her a whole cake.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great. You know?
That's good, nigga. Yeah. Nick, hey, you know what I want to say too? And I feel a little like I might get my card pulled on this one. I kind of like apple pie more than sweet potato pie.
Nah, dude, I'm with you.
I always feel, you know, like, first of all, I'm not a banana pudding. Like, God bless.
Me either. Keep that shit away. I'm not a banana pudding. I'm not a rice pudding. I'm good on all that shit.
You on mute?
Muted, nah.
I'm a banana pudding Negro all day.
Yeah, I make an excellent
banana pudding, but I do not. I don't eat it.
I can't eat the damn vanilla wafers off the top.
I hate them. I hate it. I hate it. But yes, I'm an apple. Like, if you could give me a really healthy slice of warm apple pie after dinner, it is night.
Do you like the crumb topping? Are you a lattice?
I'm indifferent. I won't turn it down, but it's not preferred. I like a traditional, what is it, the lattice? The one
lattice.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's traditional. Yeah. A good old slice. Like, if you went into a diner on the highway and said, give me that apple pie, that's what I want. Yeah, sure.
The crumbs be messy. It just starts to spill out. I need my shit flat on top. And let me say,
crumbs because it goes with the ice cream.
Okay, let me ask a question.
Crumbs and a caramel sauce and like a cinnamon sauce. Like, yo,
nah, I don't put a caramel sauce.
Yeah. Well, listen, my pie this time I had seasoned the apples like the night before, and so the juice that came out of the bottom, I put it in like a pan. And like add a little bit of butter, made the caramel, added it back to the pie, and then baked it.
Oh, ain't you fancy?
Unbelievable.
Now? Well, la di da.
La di da. What the damn do? So let me ask the question. What ice cream are we eating? We doing Breyers, we doing Häagen-Dazs, what are we doing?
Turkey Hill, vanilla bean.
Turkey Hill.
Breyers is always, you know, in my house, for me, myself personally, I keep Bobby Brys on the day to day, but for events, I do Breyers just because it's bigger, it's more economical, you know, it makes more sense. That vanilla bean, you know, you
can't Breyers. Cream to ice ratio is off for me. I need a little cream. Ratio is off.
I always find Breyers seems to give you the ice burn. What's it called? The
it does faster. Get free very easily.
Free to burn, very fast, carton, right? Yeah.
It has a carton spin. That's why I do it for events, because it just me by myself. I can't leave it in the freezer.
Yeah, and you're going to have a sheet of ice on there. Is freezer burn really poison? Because I'm basically like, don't eat the freezer burn because it's poison you.
It definitely ain't poison. Yeah, it definitely ain't poison. I just want to say this segment of Pop Life has been brought to you by fat niggas who are flirting with sugar. Who are flirting with the sugar.
With the diabetes.
With the diabetes.
Listen, I'm just trying to develop flirts. My auntie arm flap. It's real when you walk in here.
I can do that. I don't need the word arm. I'm good with that. What I do miss, and I might bring this tradition back at some point, my family, everybody in my family had wooden ice cream churns, which I haven't seen in a really long time.
Oh, damn. Do they still make those?
I don't know. But growing up, that was a staple. My great-grandmother had one. My grandparents had one. My cousins had one. So no matter what we were doing, somebody had the rock salt.
Rock salt. All the kids gather around and be taking turns churning that damn thing.
My grandma wouldn't let you have any unless you did a decent amount of turning. Yeah.
Gotta put in work. Like James Brown said, man don't work, can't eat.
And that's the best ice cream I might still to this day that I've ever had.
Oh, absolutely. That's just the absolute best ice cream ever.
Rum raisin with the actual rum in that bitch.
Not so fancy. You always put
extra I ain't old enough for rum raisins. I don't know. No,
my family was a rum raisin family, and that shit.
Wow.
We would do a
the old school flavors is rum raisin and mint.
Pistachio.
You see somebody with mint. And Kentucky. Oh, my aunts always had sherbet. You see sherbet in the freezer, you 75 years old.
Worst. And they're forever trying to give that to kids. Like,
sherbet was trash, nigga. Sherbet is trash.
This is not ice cream, bro.
What is this? This is garbage.
I love sherbet.
Not as a first choice, no ma'am.
Like, I be keeping push-up pop.
Push-up pop. I think it was something about that. The toilet paper roll added the extra flavor.
Made the extra something because regular sherbet out that plastic container is garbage.
You niggas are easily 137 years old,
nigga.
Oh my god,
we all live the same life.
Turning ice cream and
the sherbet
grew up in the country.
I don't know what that is, but you can leave that shit out. And it
sherbet.
Will not help.
Sherbet, you can keep in your freezer sherbet from July to December.
And that's no how long it would be in there.
Yeah, so hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. God bless y'all and your families. Be safe out there. Take care and have a good time tomorrow.
Let you get something to eat, Jeff.
I'm gonna take a picture of my plate tomorrow. I might have to throw a little piece of. My cousin told me Penny got some jerk salmon from this place called The Door.
I don't think you can go from plants to like jerk salmon. Like
that's a jump, right?
Leap. You might want to like have a scrambled egg or something.
Nigga,
said a scrambled egg. Nigga, for Thanksgiving, I'm eating scrambled eggs.
You haven't had no butter in like 3 months. I don't know. Eat like a roasted piece of fish.
Something. Oh my god. So y'all wish me luck in this journey. I'm gonna try to make it to the new year before I backslide to eating pizza. y'all take care. We'll see y'all next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.